Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thus Lord Chaitanya excused all the offences of the Mayavadi sannyasis and very mercifully blessed them with Krishna Nam. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the mercy incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is addressed by Srila Rupa Goswami as Maha Vadanyavatar, or the most magnanimous incarnation. Srila Rupa Goswami also says, Karunayavatirnah Kalau, it is only by his mercy that he has descended in this age of Kali. Here this is exemplified. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not like to see Mayavadi sannyasis because he thought of them as offenders to the lotus feet of Krishna. But here he excuses them, Tang Sabara Kshami Aparadha. This is an example in preaching. Apani Achari Bhakti Shikai Mu Sabari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that those whom preachers meet are almost all offenders who are opposed to Krishna consciousness. But it is a preacher's duty to convince them of the Krishna consciousness movement and then induce them to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Our propagation of the Sankirtan movement is continuing despite many opponents, and people are taking up this chanting process even in remote parts of the world like Africa. By inducing the offenders to chant the Hare Krishna Mantra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exemplified the success of the Krishna consciousness movement. We should follow very respectfully in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, and there is no doubt that we shall be successful in our attempts. E mate satang sabara kshami aparadha sabakari krishna nama korila prasada. Thus Lord Chaitanya excused all the offences of the Mayavadi sannyasis and very mercifully blessed them with Krishna Nam. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanshakalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhubya Ebata Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thanks for the opportunity to speak. Please give me blessings that I can say something appropriate. This is a very special chapter number 7. And Srila Prabhupada, he instructed that this chapter be printed separately and that was distributed on the streets very much during the time that Srila Prabhupada was with us. And it covers a lot of points. We learn about the Mayavadis, how they are offenders. So it's a lesson that we should be careful in our dealings with Mayavad philosophy. We learn about the Yuga Dharma. We learn that the process of dancing and chanting is not simply sentimental, but is actually the highest process. And in today's verse, we learn, well, the purport is very interesting because there's a discussion about how the preacher gives mercy to the offenders. Now, this is a very interesting point in the light of a purport in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So the qualities of the Majjhima Adhikari. Now, if we're talking about preaching, we're really just talking about Majjhima Adhikari because Kanishthas, they're only interested in ringing the bell, worshipping the deity. They don't have enough respect for the rest of humanity, even for the animals, etc. Because the Krishna Nam is not just for human beings, it's for everyone. It is said that the Kanishtha Adhikari, he worships Krishna, but he doesn't have the same respect for everyone else. But the Majjhima is different. It said, Ishvari Tadadi Nishu, Bali Sheshu Dushat Sutva, Prema Maitri Kripo Peksha, Yakaroti Samajjhimaha. The Majjhima Adhikari, he has love for Krishna, He makes friends with devotees. He is merciful to the innocent, and he neglects the envious. The term is upeksha, which means neglect. Now, if you go to this section of the 11th canto, you find a long and elaborate purport where the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada had already left the planet, the purport was written by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. But they quote many acharyas to back up this characteristic of neglecting the envious, because it didn't seem to be very nice. Why would a merciful person neglect to give Krishna consciousness to everyone? Why would they not make an effort to give Krishna consciousness to the envious? But actually, back to Siddhanta Saraswati, he explains that this is actually not the will of the Lord. And if one out of sentiment falsely thinks they're on a Uttama Adhikari platform and indiscriminately gives mercy to everyone and attempts to deliver the envious, then that person is going against the desire of the Lord, and they are thus displeasing to the Vaishnavas. So they cheat themselves of the mercy of satisfying the Vaishnavas. This is a warning that we should be very careful who we preach to. Now one may argue, well, what about the Uttama Adhikari? If he really sees everyone as equal, then surely he will give mercy indiscriminately. But actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, no, he does not. And he gives the example of Shukadev Goswami, Srila Vyasadev, Bharat Maharaj. They're all Mahabhagavats, but they do not indiscriminately give mercy. Why? Why would they not do so? What would be the reason for that? Anyone have any suggestions? Why would you not indiscriminately give mercy? Okay, perhaps to make it more attractive. It wasn't the answer that was given. It may be detrimental. That is part of the answer, yes. The point is this, that if you give mercy to someone who doesn't want it, the fact of the matter is they won't take the mercy and they'll be offensive and they will deteriorate their own condition. And it will also deteriorate the condition of the preacher. Preacher will hear offence. So this, back to Siddhanta Saraswati, says that this tactic of trying to give mercy to someone who's not an appropriate recipient, it causes mutual hostility, which is detrimental to everyone. So that's part of the answer, but there's another part to the answer. It's simply because it is not the plan of the Lord, because as he says in Bhagavad Gita, Ye yatam mam prabhajanti tangstataiva bhajam yaham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So it's the Lord's desire to reciprocate appropriately with everyone. So his way of reciprocating with envious people is to ignore them. This is medicine. It's not lack of compassion. It's actually the medicine for that person. They will eventually come out of their envy, and then there'll be appropriate recipients of mercy. But until that time happens, then we should ignore them. And to do otherwise is against the teachings of scripture. So these are some interesting points about the tactic. But we see here that today's purport is coming from a different angle, and the mood is more about we're going to give it anyway. Now this is, how to balance these two, I don't know, but there's a statement here, for example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that those whom preachers meet are almost all offenders who are opposed to Krishna consciousness, but it is a preacher's duty to convince them of Krishna conscious movement and then induce them to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So if someone's envious, we should still maybe try a little bit, scratch the surface, find a way to change them. But if you can't, then you have to go away, otherwise they'll be committing offence and you'll be hearing offence. So that's how I understand it. And it's interesting in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that as the teacher, Mahaprabhu teaches us both things. Because for so long, the Mayavadis were Varanasi is mostly Mayavadis, but he ignored them for so long. And it was only when Chandrasekhar and Tapana Mishra were complaining. And they said, you know, we can't hear this offence. Please do something. It was only then that the Lord arranged for a Maharashtrian Brahmin to come and offer and to invite Mahaprabhu to his house. And it was only then that he came and all the Mayavadis were with him that this conversion of the Mayavadis took place. It's interesting, that's just a little side point. There were 60,000 Mayavadis. How could they have all gone to the house of this Brahmin? It's like, maybe he had a big courtyard. I don't know how it worked. Anyway, so in the verse, the purport, Prabhupada, he's drawing our attention to the role of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the teacher. Apani achari bhakti shikamu sabari. So this is an interesting statement, and I know Goga Govinda Maharaj used to quote this quite a lot. The first part of the verse, apani karimu bhaktabhava angakari. This is Krishna thinking after he's departed, after he completes his pastimes as Lord Krishna. He's thinking to himself, I've not actually taught how to perform the process. Krishna, he attracted everyone, but he didn't teach how to be the devotee, because he was being Krishna. He was so busy being Krishna, he didn't teach us how to be the devotee of Krishna. So he's back in the spiritual world thinking, you know, I need to come. And he's thinking, this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he describes this earlier on in Adi Lila, that the Lord's thinking, you know, yada yada dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata bhutanam madharmasya tadatmanam shijam yaham. Whenever there's a decline in religious practice and a prominent rise of religion, irreligion, I descend. So he's thinking, he's looking at the world thinking Kali Yuga is progressing and we need to re-establish religious principles. I need to come. But he's thinking, I need to come in such a way that it is easy for people to follow. In the Bhagavad Gita, it said, yad yad acharati shrestas tat tat evetarojana sayat pramanam kuruti lokastad anuvartati. That whatever action a great man performs, all the world pursues. On whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world, they follow this. So this is what Lord Krishna's thinking. So therefore he decides he will come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by practicing he will teach. So that is his way. He's coming in the mood of the devotee, and by practicing he teaches. Now in the verse, in the purport, it's mentioned that he is known as Mahavidanya. Now that means he's very magnanimous. Now actually, one of the qualities of Krishna is also that he's very magnanimous. Vidanya is described in the Nectar of Devotion. 64 qualities of Krishna are mentioned, and one of them is he's very magnanimous. Does anyone know the example of how Krishna is magnanimous? Because Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion, he gives so many examples. For every quality of Krishna, he gives an example. Or sometimes he gives several examples. Yeah, and I don't know the answer either, but I checked yesterday. It's there, it's to do with his Leela in Dwarka. It is said that when Krishna was residing in Dwarka, the opulence of Dwarka exceeded Goloka Vrindavan, because he was so generous in giving. Now some people may think that's not a strange thing, because Vrindavan's a village, right? But no, in the pastime of Hera Panchami, there's a discussion between Srivas Thakur and Swarup Damodar. Now in Krishna Leela, who is, well, in Narayan Leela, well, he's in Krishna Leela as well, Srivas Thakur is Narad Muni. Now Narad Muni, it's interesting because although he's very much involved in the Krishna Leela, he's actually a devotee of Lord Narayan. So for him, the opulent feature of the Absolute Truth is most attractive. So he's, and Swarup Damodar is Lalita in Krishna Leela. So when the two were discussing, Srivas Thakur, in the mood of Narad Muni, he's saying, you know, this Vrindavan, it's just a few leaves and, you know, some minerals. It's nothing compared to the opulence of Vaikuntha. So Swarup Damodar, he countered, and he said, actually, Goloka Vrindavan is like an ocean of opulence, and the opulence of Mathura and Dwarka do not even compare to a drop of that ocean. And he gives some examples like the Kalpa Vriksha trees, and the Chintamani gem, and the Kamadhenu, the cows that can fulfill all desires. This indicates that actually Goloka Vrindavan is more opulent even though it's not so obvious. You see? But if you're in the mood of Narad Muni, then you are simply attracted to this opulence of Vaikuntha, and you cannot see that opulence of Vrindavan. So when Krishna was present in Dwarka, the opulence of Dwarka exceeded even that of Vrindavan. So this is Vidanya, Krishna's generosity. Actually, in Jiva Dharma, there's a discussion about the Madhura Ras, and it's said that there are two aspects. One aspect is Madhurya, sweetness, but the other aspect is Audarya, or magnanimity. So when sweetness is prominent, that is Krishna. When magnanimity is prominent, that is Gaura. So in the spiritual world, recently someone was asking, what is the... There's a description of how Gaura, the Chaitanya Leela, is present in Goloka Vrindavan. So whereabouts is it? Where is it going on, you know? Because when we think of Goloka Vrindavan, we think of Radha Krishna. So there's a description in Jiva Dharma that it's actually symmetrical, that the Goloka Vrindavan is in two halves, symmetrical halves. One is called the Krishna Pit, where Krishna and Krishna's pastimes take place. The other is the Gaura Pit, where Gauranga's pastimes take place. So in the Gaura Pit, Audarya Leela, generosity or magnanimity, is prominent. And in Krishna's Leela, sweetness is prominent. But we should understand that both are present. There's infinite sweetness in Krishna's Leela, and there's infinite generosity and magnanimity in Krishna's Leela as well, like that. So how does this magnanimity arise? Now, there's a mention of this verse from Rupa Goswami. When he saw, in Prayag, when he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell on the ground and he offered a prayer. Namo Mahavidanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayati Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauro Tvase Namaha. The Lord is very magnanimous because he's giving Krishna Prema. Yeah? So what's the connection with today's verse? There's no mention of Krishna Prema. What's the connection? What is he giving? Krishna Nam, exactly. Now the point is, Krishna Nam means Krishna Prema in this Kali Yuga. In other Kali Yugas it doesn't, but in this Kali Yuga it does. Nama Prema Malaganti Paraila Sangsari. Lord Chaitanya, he wove a garland of Nam and Prem. So this is an indication that this Kali Yuga is very special. So the magnanimity that's been mentioned in the purport is particularly referring to Krishna Nam. This Krishna Nam gives Krishna Prem. Now in other Kali Yugas, Krishna Nam will give you liberation. You can go to Vaikuntha. But in this Kali Yuga, Krishna Nam gives you Krishna Prem. It means it's giving you the love and the qualification to go to Goloka Vrindavan. And this is also, in this connection, Srila Prabhupada, he mentions a statement from Vidagda Madhava, Karunayava Tirna Kalau. Those who know the fourth verse of Dijana Charitamrita will be familiar with this term. So this is interesting. Then Rupa Goswami, he originally wrote a drama in two parts. The first part was Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And the second part was Krishna's pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka. Now as he was travelling to Jagannath Puri, he stopped in a place called Satyabhama Pura. And there he had a dream. And in that dream, Satyabhama came to him, beautiful girl. And she said to Rupa Goswami, said, you should split your drama in two. You know, instead of having one drama, you should split it in two. The first part, the pastimes of Krishna. And the second part, second drama, separate drama, the pastimes of Krishna and Dwarka. So after that dream, Rupa Goswami, he proceeded to Jagannath Puri. And the Lord, who was omniscient, he knew about this dream. So he said to Rupa Goswami, he said, you should not take Krishna out of Vrindavan. So Rupa Goswami, he connected the statement. He understood, yes, this is confirmation of this dream. You know, it's not good to have a drama where Krishna's in Vrindavan and then you take him out of Vrindavan. So what he did was he decided, I will write a separate introduction and a separate invocation to both parts so that there's now two dramas instead of one. So the first drama is Vidagda Madhava. That's Krishna in Vrindavan. And the second drama is Lalita Madhava, which is Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura. So actually in one purport, Prabhupada explains, he says that To go to Vrindavan means to study Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, and Nectar of Devotion, and other books like that. So they're very important books that Srila Prabhupada did not get round to translating, but you can get them online. So in Vidagdha Madhava, the second verse is Anarpita Charin Chirat Karuna Yavatirna Kalau Sarmar Payatuma Natochvalarasam Subhakti Shriyam Harek Purata Sundara Juti Kadamba Sandipita Sada Ridaya Kandare Spiratuva Shachinandanaha. It's a beautiful verse. What it's saying is that in Kali Yuga, the Lord comes, he's resplendent like molten gold, and he comes and he gives what has not been given for a long time, which is the Unnatochvala Ras, or the spontaneous love in the conjugal Ras. Therefore, may that Shachinandana always be present in your heart. Something like that. Because that's not the exact translation, but that's what it means. So what is this Unnatochvala Ras? Now, this is actually the spontaneous spontaneous love. It is not obtainable through Vaidhi sadhana. And if you read the discussion about this verse, which appears, I think, in the fourth chapter, let me check. The third chapter, the external reasons for the Lord's descent. It's a very internal reason in some ways, because it's so spontaneous. It's the love that will take you to Vrindavan, but it's actually external. The internal reason is for the Lord to personally taste the mood of Radharani. So this, if you read this section, it's very clear it's talking about spontaneous love. There's a statement, Vidhi Bhakti Brajbhav Paiti Nahi Shakti, that if you perform regulated devotional service, it does not have the potency to give you Brajbhav, or gives you qualification to go to Vrindavan. So this is the great offering of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's giving what is not normally available. And it is, not only is it very elevated, but it's freely given. There's a statement, Patra Patra Vichar Nahi Nahi Stana Stana. The mercy of Lord Chaitanya is inconceivable, because he's given the highest thing, but also he's given it for free. So when Krishna comes, Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki, Shishi Sidharam Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shishi Gauritai Ki Jai. When Krishna comes, he's telling us, Sarva Dharma Pritchaja Mami Kang Saranam Raja Aham Tvam Sarva Papi Bhya Moksha Yashami Ma Shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. He says, first surrender, then I will deliver you. But Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't say, first of all, surrender. He'll go to anyone and everyone and just give them the process. He'll give them Krishna Nam and say, he'll say, just take it. You don't have to first of all surrender. You just take it. And just by chanting, then you'll surrender. But Krishna, he won't give. So it's said that the storehouse of love of God, it is sealed when Krishna comes. When Mahaprabhu comes, it's opened. The Panchatattva open it, they plunder it, and they give. And the more they give, the more it fills up. So it's called, in this chapter, it's referred to Purva Prema Bandara. It is the storehouse of Prema. It's Purva Prema, meaning it was there with Krishna as well. It's not a new thing. The difference is, it was locked, it was sealed. You had to surrender. A few people could get it, but very few people. But when Mahaprabhu comes, then freely available, and he's the teacher. It said, Achara Prachara Namera Karohi Duyakarya Tumi Sarva Guru Tumi Jagatera Arya. Mahaprabhu glorifies Haridas Thakur. He says, you are preaching and you are practicing. You're doing both. Therefore, you are Sarva Guru, you're the guru of everyone. Jagatera Arya, you're most respected in the world, in the universe even. So this is actually the perfect preacher. Haridas Thakur is the perfect example. So Mahaprabhu, he's also the perfect example. He teaches by example and he preaches. Now, in one sense, the external reason is accomplished in the Madhya Lila and in the Adi Lila. In the Adi Lila, he's actually inducing everyone to chant Hare Krishna even as a baby. But then he goes, he takes initiation, and as a Grihastha, he is propagating the holy name. And then in Majalila, he's traveling around. He leaves Navadvip, he travels to South India, travels all over India. He's distributing the holy name. Then in Jagannath Puri, he carries on for the first 6 years. But then in the remaining 12 years, his propagating of the holy name, that becomes secondary. He doesn't do it so much. I mean, he's going to the temple every day. But most of it is in the Gambira. He's experiencing very elevated states of consciousness with his intimate associates. So it looks from that point of view that the preaching stopped. I used to think this way, but actually there's one purport, or actually one verse, where it's described how this is also part of the preaching. He's teaching us how to be an advanced devotee. So it's arranged that what went on in the Gambira is available for us. We can actually read about it. And these pastimes are very, very elevated. And some of the symptoms that Mahaprabhu manifested, they're not normally even talked about, like oozing blood, ecstatic symptom. This is mentioned in the Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, and in that connection, Rupa Goswami says, I'm not going to talk about this because it's so rare. So even the very rare things are manifested in this Krishna Leela. So it shows you how wonderful it is. So I'll talk a little bit about mercy, because the words mentioned here, prasad. So there's an interesting difference. Once in around 15 years ago in the ISKCON Communications Journal, there was a little article about the differences between the northern and southern sects of the Sri Sampradaya. They have different philosophies. Now, one of the differences was the nature of the Lord's mercy. Those in the north, they think that mercy is like you must make an effort in order to get mercy. It's called Markata Kishor Nyaya, which means the logic of the baby monkey. So we see the baby monkeys, they have to hold on to their mother. If they let go, that's it. They're dropped on the ground. Now, the southern sect, they have a different concept of mercy. It's referred to as Marjara Kishor Nyaya, the logic of the baby cat. So the kitten does not have to make any effort. The cat just picks up the kitten in the mouth. The kitten doesn't have to make any effort whatsoever. So the southern sect, they have this concept of the Lord's mercy. Now, if we consider these two, there's some merit to both. There's an important aspects to both of them. I mean, what is so good about to say that we have to endeavor? What is good about that? I mean, it's obvious what's good about that. It makes us responsible. We don't just, I'm just going to watch TV, right? Because it's all up to Krishna anyway. There's nothing I can do about it. But this kind of thinking, there's also a problem with it. We maybe start thinking that by the power of my sadhana, I will cause Krishna to give me mercy. This is not good philosophy. It's like karma amongst a philosophy, that by the action alone, Krishna will have to give me the result, because he has to give me my karma, because he is subservient to the law of karma. This is kind of the mood. So it's not a very good in that sense. So there's a pro and there's a con. Now, in the southern sect, the pro is we understand that actually I am helpless, I am powerless, and everything is to do with Krishna's mercy. That's the good part, right? You see, so there are both aspects there. So, I mean, what is the Gaudiya Vaishnav conclusion? Who would like to offer a conclusion? Are we going with the northern sect or the southern sect? Gaur Krishna Prabhu? Both, okay. I've just said both, right, so. That's a very good answer, because you know the 2 inches, 1 inch is Krishna's mercy, right, the other inch is our effort. So it's there. It's about angle of vision. I remember listening to a lecture of Gaur Govinda Maharaj, and he said, it is mercy. He was referring to this point, and he was saying, it is mercy.
You don't give yourself a full spot. You don't give something if they're not going to use it. So it is both, isn't it? In the sense that your desire qualifies you for it, but at the same time, it is also causeless because it's under pressure that you have to manage it.
Yeah. But has he ever done that? Okay, look at this pastime here. The Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi. They're Aparadis. They're offenders. They were making fun of Mahaprabhu, but he still gave them mercy. Now, what's their situation? Is that because they're not envious, not so envious, or they're just a little envious? It's difficult, right? But yeah, there are different ways to look at it. And I took a different angle. I thought I'd look at from a different angle as follows, because I've been reading Nectar of Devotion. So there's in Nectar of Devotion, there's descriptions of the qualification to perform Vaidhi Sadhana, the qualification to perform Raganuga Sadhana. There's the cause of Bhav, preliminary love of God. And there's a description of the causes of Prema, or pure love of God. Now the causes of Prema, this is an interesting one, that there's two causes of Prema. One is prema that arises from bhav, that's the normal procedure. One is elevated to the platform of bhav, or preliminary love of God, and then one attains, from there one goes to the platform of prema. But there's another cause, and that's simply Krishna's mercy. Now I was thinking, well, okay, so then there must be two answers. Mercy's one way, and the other one is through a process. But if you look at the process, now bhav, in turn, bhav, how do we attain bhav? There's two types of bhav. There's bhav that arises from Vaidhi Sadhana, and there's bhav that arises from Raganuga Sadhana. Now, in the Nectar of Devotion, it's explained that nobody can follow the path of Raganuga Bhakti unless they receive the mercy of Krishna or his devotee. So then, we can't say that through Raganuga Sadhana, then you're the cause of mercy, because you can't even practice it without mercy. But what about Vaidhi Sadhana? See, Vaidhi Sadhana, actually, before we talk about that, let's talk about Bhav. I mentioned there's two causes of Prem. Prem that arises from Bhav, and Prem that arises from Krishna's mercy. There are three causes of Bhav. There's Bhav from Sadhana, Bhav from Krishna's mercy, and Bhav from the mercy of Krishna's devotees. Interesting. And that is a topic in itself, because about several years ago, one Prabhupada disciple was talking about how prema, only Krishna gives prema. Now, at the time he said, a sakta, or attachment, can be given by Krishna's devotee, and it created a whole discussion, because as we sing every day, prema bhakti yaha hoiti, avijava nashayati, from the guru, prema emanates. So we're understanding that prema comes from the guru. But then why is it saying that bhav can come from the mercy of Krishna's devotee, but prema only comes from Krishna's mercy? I mean, that's a topic in itself. I won't discuss it. But anyway, going back, so we're discussing bhav. Bhav comes from sadhana. That's one of the causes. So one may think, well, what about Vaidhi sadhana? That is something that I am in control of. So maybe we can say that's not mercy, that's my sadhana. But there's a problem with that as well, because yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan nagati gatopi. One cannot make spiritual advancement without the mercy of the spiritual master. So therefore, when we do sadhana and we progress, it's not so much from the sadhana itself. There's the sadhana, and there's the mercy that we get from following the instructions of the spiritual master. So from that point of view, we have to say it's mercy, right? And then one may say, well, what about the qualification to even perform sadhana? So that's also described in Nectar Devotion. So in order to perform sadhana, you need to have atibhagya, very much, very great fortune, which causes jata shraddha, faith to arise. Faith is a qualification. Without faith, you wouldn't perform any sadhana. So faith is actually the qualification, but where does faith come from? Comes from mercy. Indirectly, it will do. How do we get faith? How does faith develop? Association with devotees, that's the answer. In this connection, if you look at the Sanskrit in Nectar of Devotion, I said atibhagya, it comes from good fortune, but the translation is it comes from the association of Prabhupada, of devotees. Prabhupada, he doesn't mention good fortune. When he translates it, he just says it comes from the association of devotees. But then when we ask, where does the association of devotees come from? How do we get the association of devotees? Is there something we can do? Service? What type of service? Devotional service? But you wouldn't do devotional service. The devotional service comes after the association of devotees. Before you even become a devotee, you wouldn't even do it if you have no faith. Agyata, yes. Any other options? Agyata Sukriti, yeah, that's what it is. This is discussed in Jiva Dharma. Now, the question has arisen, this exact question is brought up, where does faith come from? And the answer is given, is from the Brihan Naradiya Purana. Bhaktis tu Bhagavat Bhaktas Sangena Parijayati Satsango Prapyati Pumbir Sukritayar Purva Sanchitai. Now in the Sanskrit there's no mention of the word Shraddha, but it's indicated by the word Bhakti. Bhakti really means Shraddha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says advancement in devotional service means advancement in faith. So Bhakti, where does Bhakti come from? It comes from Satsanga, association with devotees. But then it goes on to say, where does association of devotees come from? It comes from Sukritayar Purva Sanchitai, from previous Sukriti. Now the verse doesn't say what type of Sukriti. This word Sukriti is vague. There's different types of Sukriti. How many types are there? There's three. What are the three types of Sukriti? Karma, Gyan, and Bhakti, yes. There's karma Sukriti, like for example giving in charity, not to a devotee, but giving to a mundane cause, or performing austerities, that's karma Sukriti, that will lead to opulence, that will lead to material happiness. What's an example of Jnana Unmukha Sukriti? Anyone know? Like for example, the impersonalists, their goal is to merge with the Supreme. What Sukriti do they do to get that? Well, that's the name of it. It's called Jnana Sukriti, but what is an example of Jnana Unmukha Sukriti? What is an example of that? Studying Shastra. Is studying monistic philosophy. Maybe you'd study the non-devotional parts of Shastra, or a non-devotional angle on Shastra. So yes, the monistic philosophy will give you the Sukriti by which you can merge. And then Bhakti, Bhakti Unmukha Sukriti. That's different. That is, for example, Prahlad Maharaj is a great example because he was an argumentative householder, and he had a fight with his wife and he fasted on Nrisingha Chaturdasi, and because of that, in his next life, he became Narad Muni. It's actually described, he didn't do sadhana. The mercy of Narad, a devotee of Lord Nrisingha, by the mercy of Narad Muni in the womb, that was Narad Muni's mercy, he became elevated. He didn't perform sadhana like that, like we do. So yeah, so these three types of Sukriti are there. Then let's carry on the argument we're discussing here. Is it sadhana or is it mercy? Well, it's sadhana, but is sadhana, is about the mercy of the guru. But also, how do we come to devotional service? That's also mercy. Because how can someone perform Sukriti that's good for bhakti if they don't even know what bhakti is? It happens by accident, you see? So ultimately, our coming to devotional service is accidental. And it's not just one accident, it's Sukritayar Purva Sanchitayar, it's one after another. Therefore, even just to bring it into modern day context, if, for example, you're not a very good book distributor and you go on the street and you try, then even if you don't sell a book, there's still Sukriti. It's still actually changing people's destiny. Because if you see a devotee, your destiny's changed. In the Bhagavatam, there's one verse: Nahyam mayani tirtane na deva mritchila mayaha te punanchura kalina darshana deva sadavaha. That the holy places, they're not just bodies of water; they're spiritual. The deities, they're not simply pieces of stone; this is actually referred to the deities of the demigods. They're actually living. They're actually the demigods. They purify gradually, but darshana deva sadavaha. Simply by seeing the sadhu, one is purified. So this is the great potency of the sadhu. As far as purification goes, the sadhus, they purify even more so than anything else, than the holy places. and Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Svantastena Gatabrita. Because the devotees carry Krishna in the heart, they actually purify the holy places. This is the power of the sadhu. So we may be insignificant, but because we're connected to a very significant process, then we're carrying more shakti than we even know. So when people see us, they're making spiritual advancement. Now, if they see tilak and neck beads, they'll think of Krishna. If we go around without tilak, without neck beads, or no dhoti, we just go around, we merge, then there's not so much security there. There'll be something, but if people know that we are actually devotees, then that is great security. So yeah, these are some reflections on today's verse. Now, what I'll do is I'll open it up for comments or questions, see if there's anything, and if that develops, we'll carry on.